You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of June 1st, 2022, and this week, it is a popularity contest.
Experience Points Podcast. I'm George Albor.
My name is Scott Jester.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a serious but not humorous conversation about video games. You got to be playing the hottest games.
Constantly. I have my finger on the pulse.
We are talking today about some recent, this is kind of news-ish, right? This is NPDs, which stands for Nude Pole Dancers of America, I assume. This is an industry, a video game industry organization that provides a consultation as well as analytics. They release regular yearly reports about the state of games.
And just retail in general, like it's such a weird organization. Like it's one of those shadowy consultancies that probably you pay a lot of money for. And then if you look too closely, you're like, wait a second, we paid for what?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's also very much like I don't know if you've read any of their larger reports, state of game reports. Mm. They feel like they're marketed towards news sites, or it's like someone's writing an article to try to convince you that games are important.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just feels really like low hanging fruit, but that's
you write an article to make sure that you can sell your next consulting package. You know, like it's a virtuous cycle.
Yeah, I would just expect more in-depth knowledge, but I don't know. I mean, I've never met with or know anyone who works at NPD, so who knows? Mm. However, we do know that they collect and have access to information that you and I don't normally have access to, one of which is the top 10 selling video games year-to-date in 2022, to essentially tell us, you know, what is hot out there in both retail and digital. Mm. Now, in terms of their the way that they acquired this data, I believe, based upon their website, that they do a poll, essentially. They select a group of individuals and ask them what games they bought, and they sort of extrapolate from there, much like Nielsen does for Nielsen ratings.
Yeah. Yeah, that, kind of a representative sample of the market.
Now, I imagine they do compare that to some industry knowledge. Like, we can tell number of sales in certain contexts. I imagine maybe some publishers share some of the information for them. So everything is going to be asterisked, but I think for the most part, it's probably relatively insightful, or at least relatively accurate to the state of games as of this year. So
I think people generally put some stock in them, you know, in their data, at least.
Right. So we figured we would go down the list a little bit, talk about any highlights, surprises. Honestly, I think there are quite a bit of surprises.
Just on the state of figuring out what people are playing, I mean, do you feel like it is actually harder than ever before to figure out like what is selling or what is popular?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, for one, it's really difficult to understand free-to-play games in this context.
Yeah.
Or even very cheap games. Like, things that come out of the blue, like Among Us, right? Mm-hmm. There is a lot of headspace to it, but does that tell you how many active players are you playing it in any given time when you're looking at, like, purchase data?
Yeah.
So, you know, Fortnite is free-to-play, right? I think Fortnite is free-to-play. You're not going to see that on the top sales, even though that might be taking up a disproportionately large percentage of, say, like daily active users spending time in a video game.
Yep.
Or compare that to another game that maybe didn't sell as well, but is monetizing very well, right? So people are spending inside of the game, which tells you different kinds of information, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's harder. There's a lot more marketplaces as well. Like, you could buy your game on Steam, you could buy it on the Epic Game Store, you can buy it on You could be playing because you have it on Game Pass, so it wasn't even a purchase. But
that's what I was going to mention, where it's like it's even more murky with like Game Pass. Like, how do you figure that out? You know, downloads, impressions. You know, like what is that?
I mean, it wouldn't be counted as a sale for the purposes of the NPD rating, right? Yeah. We just wouldn't know from day one.
It's like gone are the days of you're able to just pull the retailers. You know, let's ask Toys R Us what's the most popular video game, and you can basically get an accurate description if it's, you know, 1993. But like today, it's just everywhere, you know. The data is everywhere.
I mean, that is why there are teams that this is all they do, you know. Yeah. It's like try to analyze and understand the performance of competitors and stuff. Yeah, it's cool. I mean, that's a kind of a fun job, I would say.
It's you're a video game detective. Where did all these video games go?
I think it's probably less exciting than that, because market analysis just means lots of spreadsheets and stuff. But yeah.
So this list is, this was published a couple weeks ago, you know, mid-May, and it's as of April 2022, year to date. You know, what are by their estimation, what are the top selling video games of the year so far?
Yep.
What do you want to do? Do you want to do David Letterman style, 10 to 1, or do you want to go 1 to 10?
Oh, let's go 10 to 1. I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
And we should see which of these we've played too.
yeah, that's a good idea. Why don't you start us off then?
What's number 10? A game I have played, Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Yeah, I have not played that. Honestly, I'm very surprised because I don't know. You know, I know Pokemon is popular. I know that. But Arceus did seem distinct enough. Like, it seemed like, I don't know, that's the different waters. Do you really want to go that route? But there you have it.
I mean, I feel like the power of having a new, you know, a full new Pokemon game, a full new Pokemon RPG on the Switch set it up pretty nicely.
Yeah. Do you think that it's also just the lack of Nintendo games in this current window, though?
I mean, yeah, it's been a little bit since Nintendo put out new games, but there's a few on this list, so...
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I really think Pokemon is just... It's just this intergenerational juggernaut.
I was at my sister-in-law's house today, and their son is into Pokemon. The cards specifically.
Oh shit.
Doesn't really know how to play. He's still young, not super into playing. He's just really into the cards. And gotta he ordered on Amazon like metal cards, like hard metal versions of Pokemon cards that I think are playable. I don't even know like where this comes from.
And are they officially from, you know, the Pokemon trading collectible card game?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's wild. They actually look really nice, to be honest. They're like very heavy and gold plated and they look great. Like very shiny. From that perspective,
this is how you get like suckered into a pyramid scheme by a grade schooler.
Yeah, I mean that's the interesting thing, right? Because he doesn't actively play it. I don't think he could even like name the Pokemon at first glance, like a lot of them. You know,
that's a Charizard.
I don't think he's seen the show, but like there is an allure to Pokemon. Like I don't even know if he understands how Pokemon works. You know, like if I asked him and I was like, Silas, how do you catch a Pokemon? You know, like I don't think he would. If I asked him, like, what's it like inside the ball, you know, or like, how do you breed a Ditto or something? Like, I don't think he doesn't have that like encyclopedic knowledge that long term Pokemon fans have, right? So he's captured by the IP of it to the point, by the way, where he has come over twice because he's so excited to play the Pokemon game that I have. Hmm. That Pokemon game is Smash Brothers. So he's come over and we've played Smash and I just kick their ass like all day.
Oh my God.
Because I don't hold back with children. I want everybody listening to know I will not hold back with children. but again, so like funny. To him, it's so entertaining because he gets to play Mewtwo.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, man, I think that carries a lot of weight. And I think we'll see with other games on this list, but the power of IP is strong. Yeah.
Oh my God. You know what? I just realized that this is even crazier. So I was looking at the wrong list. I was looking at April, not year to date.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So this is just April's.
This is April. However,
I thought Pokemon... we were going to sort of bounce and do both.
Oh, okay. We can do, I was interested in year to date. I mean, April, that's fine. You know, April is April, but like year to date is interesting. And Pokemon is jumps even further up.
Yeah. So Pokemon is number 3 in the year to date. Yeah. Jesus. Why don't we just go through, maybe should we just go through the year-to-date, I guess?
Yeah, the year-to-date stuff is even wilder.
Okay, so yeah, so Pokemon number 3. Yeah, that's crazy.
What the hell?
Yeah, so weird.
So the real number 10, year-to-date top-selling game, Mario Kart 8.
Yeah.
A game that is, what, how old?
It came out
7 years old?
2014. That's fucking wild, dude. 8 years old.
Holy crap.
You could have been born before Mario Kart 8, and you are now old enough to play Mario Kart 8.
I mean, it describes my son.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
You know, they released that DLC to it, actually. I haven't played it yet, though. There's, like, new courses and stuff in it.
What's the deal here? Like, do you think that this is just the slow and steady rise of new Nintendo Switch owners?
Yeah, I mean, like,
because Mario Kart, you got to believe that
every time a Switch gets sold, Mario Kart gets sold, you know,
and an angel gets its wings,
a blue shell gets its wings every time.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to believe that the attach rate of Switch to Mario Karts or Mario Karts to Switch attach rate is preposterously high.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's, like you said, then, this is a testament to the selling power of the Switch even today. Also, yeah. I'm kind of curious whether or not the difficulty of getting next-gen consoles this past year and a half is related as well. Because you decide to buy a console for your kids,
yeah,
you can't get an Xbox.
Yeah.
Can't get a PlayStation 5.
It's true.
Get them a Switch.
Yeah, that's... And I feel like the Switch supply chain got more, the problems were alleviated earlier than the other consoles. So that could be true.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Number 9 here?
Number 9, Madden NFL 22.
Can't stop the Madden train. Can't stop the Madden bus.
Not surprising. I'd be curious where this lands year over year in the top list. I think it generally comes out at the same time every year, which is usually the fall.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is also just one of those games that has long legs, right? Like,
yeah.
The game will sell when it releases in the fall, but it will just keep selling because it's Madden.
I mean, the traditional, you know, one of the traditional gaming profiles was, you know, the guy who buys an Xbox and mainly plays Madden or FIFA. You know, so like if you think about the attach rate of Xboxes to Maddens, it's probably also a pretty not nearly as hefty as Mario Karts to Switches, but you know, Maddens to Xboxes probably pretty healthy.
Well, and the loyalty of that group is huge. You know, people continue to buy that every single
year. There's literally no other game in town, so
what's so surprising to me is I feel like maybe I'm overestimating how quickly those consumers buy the next thing. At what point do you make the decision, okay, it's time to upgrade to the next Madden, right?
Mm-hmm.
The game, I just looked it up. Madden NFL 22 came out in August.
Yeah, it usually comes out in August to coincide with the football season.
Yeah, but that's still 4 months of playtime, right? Like, I would think that most consumers would have bought it by end of December, like for the holidays and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I forget, like people just, they just wait it out until they're like, okay, all my friends have upgraded, time for me to upgrade.
Probably gets cheaper too as the year goes on. Stuff. You know, there might be more sales, but
yeah, that's a good point.
Number 8 year to date, Kirby and the Forgotten Land.
I am filled with joy that this is so high on the list.
And that's one of those games that's still on my list to play. Where I might play it with Sam at some point. But yeah, can you believe that? I mean, geez, like the top selling year to date. I mean, I guess it's the other weird thing is we're finally on a 2022 release.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also, again, just a testament to the Switch sales, you know?
Yes. Yeah. People love that Kirby.
I guess. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just getting older and older, but I feel like, how do people still know these characters? Like, how is someone
probably
that's
Smash.
Like... that's probably true. Yeah, that's Smash. All right, number 7, Call of Duty Vanguard.
Here's an admission. What is Call of Duty Vanguard?
Call of Duty Vanguard is the World War II Call of Duty game that was released last year, I think fall of last year.
Is this their Battle Royale?
No, that's Warzone.
Warzone. Okay, correct. I've gotten very confused by what Call of Duty is what these days.
Yeah, I mean, technically there are like three still pretty well played games. Yeah. Vanguard, Warzone, and even Modern Warfare.
Is it, yeah, I was about to say, because the Modern Warfare reboot was very popular, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Vanguard's done very well for itself, though.
Man, people really love that World War II setting.
I guess. It's simpler days, in a way, you know?
It's when it was still cool to kill Nazis.
Maybe I should play this game. Ugh, I tell me that every time.
Do they do is it a whole campaign thing, or do they just go straight to multiplayer with this one?
I know that there is a campaign that is featured in the game. I imagine the vast majority goes straight to multiplayer.
You gotta play.
And then I believe there's also a zombies caught mode in Vanguard also. So it's much like, you know, very much like their classical Call of Duty release. Yeah.
Yep. Number six, Gran Turismo 7.
I think that is also pretty cool that's on this list. And again, it's the same Madden effect. I'm always just kind of surprised, though, you know, like how high these racing games get.
In a weird way, too, because Gran Turismo has made its choice. You know, there's the Forza road, there's the Mario Kart road, and then there's the Gran Turismo mode. You know, it's gone just full wacky simulator, you know, just ridiculous detailed attention to every minute detail of every car. I mean, to me, it's impressive that people have the patience for that.
I agree. Yeah, that's kind of one of the surprising things, is it feels like the learning curve is still very, very high.
Yeah.
You know?
That maybe just like the cars, you know? I don't know.
And it's still a full-priced game. Like, this is still $60.
And it's a... Other than... I mean, Nintendo, I kind of put off to the side because they're their own thing. But, like, this is an exclusive... this is the first exclusive game.
Yeah.
Console exclusive game, that
That's true. Yeah. I will say GT7 released in March of this year, so it's still fresh. So a lot of those early sales bumps, my guess is it'll
start dropping down. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But again, I don't know. I'm always surprised a little bit. Not surprised, but I guess humbled by the reminder that the types of players that you and I are, and the vast majority of our listeners are, I'm sure, are the types of people that play a variety of different games.
Yeah.
And the idea of like a game like this comes out and you got to play it day one is not something that's really been on our plates for years.
Right? Oh yeah.
You know,
I mean, it's, I would have to devote the amount of time I've devoted to Elden Ring to like feel like I'm doing any justice to Gran Turismo.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so just to jump ahead, because it's the same conversation, rank number five is MLB The Show, another sports game.
Yes. And I think that's another one where it's kind of, it's the only game in town type of thing.
Yeah.
I don't actually know if there are other.
There's no MLB The Post Show.
The pre-show, MLB The Pre-Party. I don't know if there's another licensed MLB game. Just doing
stretches.
Yeah, it's just them at batting practice. You just have a batting practice game where you can buy hot dogs and stuff.
They should make a game where you are a vendor at a game that someone else is playing MLB The Show at, you know?
That's kind of like a Microsoft Flight Simulator thing where like you're the you're the hot dog slinger instead of other people are playing the game.
Well, it can be VR, right? Is there not a VR vendor game yet? Because you could easily imagine like hot dogs and like, you know, leaning into your pouch and grabbing a dog and throwing it and trying to get as many to buyers as you can, and accuracy. You don't want to throw the pretzel to the lady that ordered the ice cream.
Oh my god, this is also one of those weird ones that is
created vendor VR
by what's that one, Quick Serve Delicious or whatever, or you know, those kitchen games where you have three things to do but only time to do two of them, you know, like it's that, but just on a stadium scale.
Well, there's so many kitchen like based games and like cooking games that you have. I feel like being a vendor at a baseball stadium is up there with like the pinnacle. Like, you ever see the people that do hot chocolate and they've got like two hot chocolate coasters?
Yes.
Or, and you know, just like,
yeah,
it's wild.
And you could have a metagame of like, How high can you push the price before people will finally say no?
Exactly, yeah. Or you try to be chummy and tell jokes.
$10? $12 for this hot dog?
Yeah, yeah.
MLB The Show created by Sony, but also on Xbox and Nintendo Switch consoles, which is very amusing to me.
And that was an April release also. So this is number 5 year to date, but that means it made all of that sales in the same month that this is being recorded.
People love that baseball. I don't know how.
I don't.
I mean, baseball is also weird this year because there was a lockout. So I think there was some pent up demand for baseball.
Do you think it would that actually impacted it?
I don't know. I have no clue, but I mean,
we can't watch the games. We gotta play it ourselves.
We're gonna simulate an entire season, 162 games of virtual baseball.
Yeah.
What's next? What are we at? Number four.
Number four is Horizon 2 Forbidden West.
Another Sony one here. So what are we at? We're at two Sony exclusives so far.
Yep. And Forbidden West came out in February, so this one's still really selling quite well. We'll get to the number one, but I think that within the sort of cultural zeitgeist, it feels like we've already forgotten about Horizon Forbidden West.
Horizon, it's kind of like a cosmic joke, right? Like Horizon 1 came out like the same month that Breath of the Wild came out, and then Horizon 2 came out the same month that Elden Ring came out.
Right, and Horizon Forbidden West, very well received, very well positively reviewed. I think it's like an 88 on Metacritic. That's a stellar score, right? So, and I have not played it. Maybe I should, I guess.
Yeah.
I hear it's quite entertaining.
I love the idea of the story. I just don't know if I could sign up for 50 hours of, you know, another open world game.
Yeah, I think that's the problem for sure. I mean, certainly the Elden Ring issue is at hand, right? Because if my options are play Horizon Forbidden West or replay Elden Ring, I'm just going to replay Elden Ring. But I don't know. That being said, I haven't played a game on the PlayStation 5 in a very long time, so I should give it a look. But anyway, still sold very well. I would be curious, like, what are the legs of Horizon Forbidden West versus the legs of Elden Ring?
I think they had some sort of DLC for Horizon 1, so I wouldn't be surprised if they try to keep it going.
Yeah. I mean, but that's true of Elden Ring also.
Like FromSoft, did they confirm they're going to
No, they didn't, but I don't think that FromSoft has released a game that hasn't had DLC. I mean, even Sekiro has had DLC. And not only that, but oftentimes the DLC, I think the large consensus among FromSoft fans is their DLC is their best content. I think Dark Souls 3 DLC is stellar. I think Dark Souls 1 DLC is a ton of fun. I think Bloodborne's DLC is the best Bloodborne. Like, that is pinnacle Bloodborne with that DLC. So they knock it out of the park. I don't know. I do actually have some doubts about what that DLC will look like for Elden Ring, because it's open world, and so
format is different. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, is it going to be like a whole map, a whole cut region? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. Number three, we talked about Pokemon. Number three, just wild that Pokemon is just the juggernaut. Also, the third. What are we at? Yeah, the third Nintendo exclusive on the list. So very, very well represented. I have a bitter taste in my mouth about this next one. Would you like to introduce?
Yeah, it is Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga.
Not only is it a fucking Lego game, and everyone knows how we feel about Lego games. It's also about even seeing the word Skywalker, I'm like, done. Don't need it. I don't care about Skywalkers. I'm sick of you Skywalkers. Yeah. I need a break from Skywalkers.
I think this is two things. It's the same conversation we had about Pokemon, right? Which is IP is a hell of a thing. And Star Wars is a hell of an IP.
Yep.
Especially in this day and age. Two, I think there's a lot of nostalgia for those Lego Star Wars games. The original ones that were the original series. And even the Phantom Menace like versions of the Lego Star Wars games. They're quite old, you know, and people played them and love them, and they can play them now with their kids in the form of the Skywalker Saga. That's, you know, a new version of that told in the Lego Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
With honestly quite good graphics for a Lego game, you know.
It is. Yeah. I will definitely grant them that, where they've carved out this look to it and have just made it look like the best version of one of those that they could, you know.
I mean, it's such this beautiful fantasy, right? Because when you are playing with Legos as a kid, you're imagining the world of Star Wars that your characters are from. You know, you're not putting them just in your... They're not actually playing in your yard. They're playing on Tatooine. You know, like, your sandbox is Tatooine. And that's the vibe that you get, because the world is so wonderfully rendered, but all of the inhabitants and a lot of the vehicles are made out of Legos.
Yeah. So. No, aesthetically, great. Very funny concept. Extremely irritating games to play, and I need to make sure that my kids do not know that they exist, or else they may force me to play them.
Are they better? I mean, have they gotten better? Are we just...
I don't know. You're right. Maybe this does call for a reevaluation or something. But again, it's something I'll have to play late at night, you know, on the Switch, so I could easily throw it under the couch or something if someone wanders out. You know,
like, don't come in. I'm vacuuming.
No. Don't look at me.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. All right. And then number one,
numero uno.
We kind of spoiled it a little bit. Elden Ring.
Yeah. Oh man, what a story.
What a rags to riches tale.
Oh man, I mean, it's just comparing that. If you were to tell me, yeah, this FromSoft game, it's gonna sell better than Madden, it's gonna sell better than Mario Kart, dude. It's gonna sell better than a Pokemon game, I'd be
better
like,
than
you're
Horizon
drunk.
Forbidden West is wild.
Yeah, like, you're drunk. I mean, I appreciate you, but you're drunk, and here we are.
Yeah, it's beating Call of Duty Vanguard. Yeah. Wild. So Dark Souls 3, I just quick internet search. Dark Souls 3 looked like it sold by 2020. Dark Souls 3 had sold 10 million copies.
10 million copies, which is, quite is a good. Lot, yeah.
Yeah. Elden Ring at this point has sold more than 14 million copies.
What the hell? It's been out for less than 6 months.
Yeah. I think as of May, looks like earlier in May was 13.5 million, so I think they're about at 14 million now. Wild. Man, and we talked about it in the Elden Ring debriefs that we've had as well, but I'm just constantly surprised by, and I appreciate it, the willingness for people to jump in despite having heard so many horror stories about this game's difficulty, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that jumped into Elden Ring for the first time, and yes, it's more accessible, yes, the open world, I will concede that it is special in its own way and makes this game more approachable to a lot of people. But there's still a sort of psychological hurdle that this was a FromSoft game. Yeah. And the word of mouth, the powerful like community reaction amongst people for whom this is their first Elden Ring game. And they're, you know, I've seen things on Reddit where people are like, I've never played a FromSoft game. This is the best game I've ever played.
Yeah.
And it fills me with joy to know that those folks took on the challenges that Elden Ring required of them, right? Like, people fought Melania having never fought any other crazy hard Dark Souls boss like that before, you know? It fills me with joy.
What is this, in your opinion, what does this do to the community? Because this is clearly the best-selling one of their games probably ever, you know, by a long shot. So like, it feels like the community was always this kind of smaller but very dedicated community. And now all of a sudden the table is super big, you know, does this change things? Like, does it switch up how these games are thought of? Like, I'm not as close to the community stuff, but like, have you seen anything?
I don't think
shift?
So. I mean, here's the weird secret about the Elden Ring community, I would argue. I mean, and of course, there's always going to be a subset of any community that are just truly toxic, hateful people. So those assholes aside.
Yeah.
But the honest truth is that the Dark Souls community wants everyone to play Dark Souls because they love it and they genuinely believe that it is a great series. The memes about it being difficult and you'll die a lot, so like all of that aside, like, they intentionally overblow, I think, the difficulty of Dark Souls because they want you to feel as though you earn it when you finally play and defeat something, because you have, right? Because you put in that work. All games do that to some extent, right? Like, it's just Dark Souls, I think, for a long time has really excelled at the way that it teaches and rewards in a way that is so admirable. So I think from a community perspective, I think the overwhelming consensus is this is great because Elden Ring is truly great. I don't think it necessarily means that, say, like, I don't think Elden Ring is my favorite Souls game by far. That being said, I am very glad that a lot of people are newly enjoying something that I've loved for a long time. And I think if you are trying to gatekeep, then you're a fool, because that doesn't make anything better. It doesn't make the world better. It doesn't make your games better. You know, the one thing I would say, and I said this before in previous Elden Ring debriefs, but I really hope that encourages people to try the other Souls games.
Yeah.
The sale of Elden Ring at 14 million in such a short amount of time is so wild that this is clearly a franchise in and of itself, right? Yeah. Elden Ring will continue to be made as an open world Elden Ring thing. If this game had sold on par or less than Dark Souls, I could easily see them going back to Dark Souls, you know, and then just and or back to Bloodborne, and you know, we'll do more of those things.
Yep.
Now I could easily see Elden Ring already being in the works again, Elden Ring 2, because it has to be, right? Like, you have to start building towards a game of that size.
Yeah,
we're not going to see another Sekiro. I don't believe, you know, and we know that the FromSoft is working on an Armored Core game, which is great. I hope it's awesome. I loved Armored Core, but Elden Ring is here to stay in a very big way. So I think that would be probably the one concern that folks have, is just, you know, where are those developer resources going to go? Right. But at the end of the day...
Do you ever get another, you know, Dark Souls formatted game versus Elden Ring formatted
game? And really, are we going to get even Bloodborne remastered, right? Which is something that the community has been asking for years and years and years. I hope we do, because my hope is that Elden Ring is what breaks that door down for everyone to realize this is accessible. I can do this. I can beat this game. Yes, this game wants me to succeed, right?
I mean, I feel like, you know, what's that developer? Sony bought them. Bluepoint?
Bluepoint, yeah.
I mean, didn't they do the Demon's Souls one? Like, it seems like it'd be a no-brainer to be like, okay, cool, Bluepoint, your next thing, remake Bloodborne. You know, like,
I mean, if they announce it, I feel like if they don't announce it this year, my hopes are low.
Hmm.
Like, if this isn't announced at, like, the next Sony E3 thing, because that would be huge. And people that are Elden Ring fans who want more need to wait to play DLC for who knows how long.
Yeah.
That kind of thing could be extremely enticing. You know, like, while you're waiting, go back to Bloodborne. Enjoy what you found there, you know? So
Do you think that there are, of these 10 games, which, you know, methodology is not... it's not foolproof. Like, there's things that could slip through the cracks. This is, you know, there's a little bit of art here. Do you think there's any notable omissions? I'm always slightly suspicious when I don't see GTA on the list.
I mean, it feels like GTA, though, at this point, has been bought by everybody by now, you know?
If there's a human on the face of the planet, they've bought GTA.
Well, like, so, you know, I guess the question would be, at the year's end...
Yeah.
Is GTA going to be on this list? Maybe. Like, these aren't going to stay here, because people won't continue to buy it. I think Elden Ring has done so well. I have a hard time imagining it not being at the highest selling games by year to date.
Mm-hmm.
I think Madden NFL will continue to be on the list.
Yeah.
But Kirby and the Forgotten Land, not a chance.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. There's probably
And so maybe GTA does appear here, because it's not on the top 10, but what if GTA is like 15th and it's 15th every single month?
Yeah, that could be. I have questions around, like, can you effectively capture all the digital sales, and, you know, or like you're saying, does it hide, like, if you were to kind of cumulatively add up all the sales, it would be, like, you know, monstrous, which it is, but it doesn't necessarily break the top 10. It just lurks around, you know, somewhere in the top 20, but just, it's been lurking in the top 20 since it came out on the Xbox 360, you know, like, it's
So quickly looking at the NPD's top 20 best-selling games in the US specifically for 2021, number 3 is Madden NFL 2022.
Wild.
So it's still selling really well.
Yeah. Huh.
Also, Pokemon 4.
Oh, man. Wait, which Pokemon?
Pokemon Brilliant Diamond / Shining Pearl.
Oh, okay, yeah. That was like a update of Pearl, one of the mobile games, I think.
Yeah.
Or pretty... the DS games, whatever.
Those Pokemon games, man.
Are there any notable ones that you are surprised that are not on here?
From this year? I mean, this honestly feels like a pretty appropriate list.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't think of anything else. I mean, other than maybe something that was huge that came out last year that I would have expected more legs from.
Yeah.
But certainly nothing this year that I would expect to beat any of these. I mean, if anything, my biggest surprise is that, you know, Call of Duty Vanguard isn't even higher than number 7, you know? Like, I would have expected Vanguard, even though it came out a while ago, to be, I don't know, 4 or 5. Same with Madden. Like, I expected that to have slightly more legs.
It would be interesting if they... I don't know if people do this or not, but it feels like you could potentially start to do some detective work with the amount of trophies, because that represents, like, activations. And so you could start to solve the Game Pass problem by saying, like, well, we don't know how this person bought it, but this person definitely played this game because they have some trophies connected to their account off of it, you know?
Yeah.
And like, if you're thinking about the most trophied game of the year, you know, I wonder what that does to this list. You know, like, what is the mind share, not just the wallet share, say about it?
You know, the one thing I would say is I'm sure that 2K is not super pleased about Tiny Tina's performance, right? Because that came out March of this year.
Yeah.
And that's not on the list at all. Maybe it's, I mean, who knows? Maybe it's like 11 or 12. I don't know how well it's performing overall. I think it got pretty well reviewed, to be honest. But again, that Elden Ring Horizon competitor window is surprisingly tough. You know, it's so funny because I think going into it, never in a million years would I have said Elden Ring, you need to make room for. But this thing, like, if Elden Ring 2 came out, I mean, this is not going to happen. But let's say Elden Ring 2 was coming out fall of next year, 2023.
Yeah.
Call of Duty would get out of the way for it. That's crazy.
That's a good point. Well, is there enough overlap, you think? Like, would it get out of the way, or would they be like, there's room in my life for Tarnished and Shoot Men?
That's a good question. Like, it's a good question. I don't know. I think when you are at the scale that Vanguard is, that Call of Duty is, excuse me, and you're at the scale of Elden, okay, maybe Call of Duty wouldn't get out of the way, but Horizon probably would.
Oh yeah, and
when you're at this, well, that's an open world game anyway. But the point being is, at some certain scale, you're just competing for man hours, like for entertainment hours. You're not competing against an individual game, right? Like, you just want as many people playing as possible. Day one, your audience is, yes, it's 18 to 35 year old males with discretionary income. Yes.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
And Elden Ring captures some of those folks too. There are people that are playing Elden Ring that don't play adventure games, you know?
Yeah.
Or they play GTA, which is an open world game, but it's very different. You know, it's not an action RPG. So
it is interesting to see the, and this isn't even really, this doesn't speak to things like, Apex Legends or Overwatch or any of those games that take up a lot of time just because of the nature of the multiplayer or the nature of the structure of the game. But like, if you look at things like Elden Ring, Pokemon, Horizon, Gran Turismo, like a good 50% of this list requires significant investment to see most of the game. Or just be fine walking away, having only seen a very small portion of the game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I find that interesting because there is an hours in the day problem, especially when you're competing against the likes of... you're competing against everything. You're competing against Fortnite and you're competing against Disney Plus. You know, there's only so many hours that someone can stare at a screen. And the fact that there's so many games that are double-digit hour investments, minimum, to really see even 50% of the game is fascinating to me.
Yeah. I'd be curious how many people finish Elden Ring. I think it's surprisingly high, though. I do remember seeing how many, like, achievements were unlocked, you know, or number of players after giving
late game trophies.
It's quite a bit. I mean, it's still a good chunk of people who are getting deep into that game.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what that says for the rest of the year, too, because, like, it feels like the rest of the year is extremely sketchy in terms of, like, what other games are coming out. Also, there's no Microsoft on this, which is fascinating to me. Like, Microsoft has just pulled this great trick of, like, they don't even need to release games anymore because they're just happy with Game Pass. You know, like, there's no big Microsoft exclusive on this.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's going to be a big Microsoft exclusive this entire year.
Yep.
And yet they seem to be kind of crushing it with, you know, their subscription stuff.
I mean, you wouldn't see it because it wouldn't be sold if it's technically a Game Pass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and even some things that aren't on this list, it's the same way, right? Like, if they had a big Game Pass day one thing, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the verdict? We're clear to ignore Star Wars: The Skywalker Saga, right?
I mean, yeah, because if you were like, we have to play every game on this list, hard pass, Hard pass.
You have our commitment. We will continue to avoid Lego Star Wars games.
I'll play some Mario Kart 8. How about that? That sounds fun.
Yeah. I mean, I legitimately do want to play those new courses, so I guess, you know, I'm, you know, I can see why this still is here.
There you go.
All right. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is the website. You can find us wherever you find podcasts. Do us a favor and tell a friend.
All right, everyone. As always, we appreciate you for listening. Take care, and we will talk to you next week.
Ciao. Every time.